No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Jordi, Messi, Jordi, el Santo Messi!
Messi Uncle, breaking Major League en la ciudad del sol. Here in Miami, we know who's el campeón. Leo my team, yeah. Suárez on the field, always wedding day team. Como yeah. Es que ya son win, the trio Fabi singing muchachos. La familia se escucha en los barrios. Esta camiseta pinky la llevan todos los guachos. Los rookies quedan sin comentarios. Messi ambetea, tiki taki gol. El estadio Chase bañado en lloro y sudor. Aquí se ama y se respeta el balón. Florida es tu casa, acostúmbrate al calor. Estate listo pa' Messi Anco. Estate listo pa' Messi Anco.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Messi and Co. on the Five Reasons Sports Network, Five Reasons Football. We're happy you guys are here. Another day that we can talk about our beloved Inter Miami, our beloved Messi, and a lot of exciting things to talk about, a lot of big games, a big tournament, interesting news that we want to talk about, controversies, a bunch of stuff, I think, for today's episode. So it's definitely going to be exciting. But I'm here. Ashley's here. We're happy you guys are here, Ash. How are you? How's everything going?
I'm good. Yeah. Never a dull moment as an Inter Miami or slash Messi fan as of late. So, yeah, lots to talk about on this Monday that feels not so much like a Friday, unfortunately. But knowing we have a huge match Wednesday, still excitement building and excited to discuss lots of what has unfolded since Saturday.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot to talk about. So we'll dive right in and just go ahead and talk about what everybody's been talking about, really. It's Inter Miami. They net 2 points in the League's Cup and in a pretty crazy fashion, I think, in a penalty shootout against Mexican side, Necaxa. There's so much to talk about this game. Usually, you know, there's just a few things here and there, but like there was just so much going on with this game, from injuries to questionable red cards to a controversy around refereeing. But I guess let's start and kind of talk about how we feel with how this team was able to perform in this game, face adversity, and come out, I think, with what was a good result given everything that happened throughout the game. Obviously, Inter Miami goes into this game feeling like they were probably the better team. They're playing at home. They have De Paul now. They have Messi, who is really performing at one of the best levels, at the best level he has really since joining the team. And they go into this game and really get jolted right at the beginning with a red card. Then Messi gets injured going into the game, early on in the game as well. Mascherano makes some, I think, interesting substitutions as we go through the game. So that's something
how unlike him.
How unlike him. But you know, I think that they faced adversity. They went down against a team that looked pretty good, and they were down a man. And then, you know, quite a few different things happened. But I wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts on the game? How do you think Inter Miami looked? What do you think about their response to a lot of adversity in this game and ultimately getting as good as a result as you can under the circumstances?
Without outright winning, right?
Yeah.
No, it's a really great question. And obviously, we're going to talk about the red card. We're going to talk about the Messi injury. Aside from that, overall performance, agreed that, look, Necaxa, first of all, the Liga MX has just started. Like, it's not the same as the MLS where they've been playing for the last 8 months. It's only been, I think, seven maybe matches for them or something around that line. But Necaxa is a good squad. And it was going to be a difficult game regardless. We saw how last Wednesday, how intense and crazy that match was, which ended with an Inter Miami last second win. But yeah, to your point, I think you saw for this game in particular, I think you saw how players like Luis Suarez and Rodrigo De Paul and Jordi Alba, and even Busquets, who surprisingly, I think, got subbed off a little early, but for especially those other three, really showed the experience, the leadership, and the mentality of how to get out of this one alive. Because, you know, as soon as the red card happened, Segovia scores a great goal. Inter Miami up 1-0. That's a good start. A couple minutes later, Messi down. Oh, no.
Yeah.
So we've had to now make two substitutions in the first 11 minutes, which is no good. But, you know, Necaxa comes back with a goal about, what was it, 10, 15 minutes later. So
yeah, going minute 33.
Yeah, so going into halftime, it's 1-1. And you know, everything on the line in the second half with how the breakdown of this league is going. Because remember, in the end, only four teams from each league. Is that right? Four make it, yeah, right?
Four make it to the quarterfinals from each league.
I was thinking about that, though. Oh, the quarter, right. So there's only four games, right?
Yeah.
I'm always thinking of things like a round of 16, round of 8. But it just goes straight to the quarterfinals, which is crazy. Right now, Inter Miami, just so everyone knows, like in terms of positioning, is 3 right now out of 4 to get in, meaning it's in our own destiny in the point that if we win the game on Wednesday outright against Pumas, we're in. Like, when we're in, I'd say if it's a tie or penalties or other things, like, you know, there are things that become harder and more out of control, but in this match, one thing was for certain, they couldn't lose and they couldn't only get 1 point. They had to either get 2 or 3 points. And so in the second half, you saw grit, effort, determination, not always your best players, but everyone giving 100% with the mentality of knowing, like, we can't lose this game. Necaxa end up scoring their second goal in the 83rd minute. Do the Sue, and we'll say this, and I tweeted it. If I were you, I would not do the Cristiano Ronaldo celebration, whether Messi is on the field or not, when you are playing against his team. It just doesn't work out for people. I'm telling you, even if he's not on the field with you, even if he's in the back room getting, you know, training, getting tested, even if whatever, if you're playing against him, do not do the Sui. It's not going to work in your favor.
No. That's a bad omen. That's just a bad idea. Bad. Never, ever do that. I always think that's so,
right. Like, if you're up 4-1, fine. You can do it if you're like kind of like whatever. But I was like, girl, I wouldn't have done that. I thought that in the moment, knowing we were down with 7 minutes left. But look, they made a mistake too. Was it Mendoza, right? Who got 2 yellow cards sent off. I think it was Mendoza. I could be wrong.
It was, I believe it was, I'll tell you right now. It was Cristian Calderon. Yeah.
Calderon. Sorry, not Mendoza. Calderon. Who and who should know much better than to have done that and got sent off. So somewhat even playing field for the last 30 minutes or so, but we not really because we didn't have Messi. But look, in the end, extra time once again. Rodrigo De Paul in his second match, having to play the full 90, puts in a beautiful cross on a dead ball opportunity. Jordi Alba with a gorgeous header ties, takes us to penalties. And we win. And you know, a game with as much frustration and things to go wrong that could go wrong did go wrong. But what it showed me is, yeah, no, Luis Suarez, he's missing his goals. He's not scoring them. It's a problem. But he does not stop creating. He does not stop creating chances. He does not stop drawing fouls. He does not stop creating good hold-up play. And he needs to score goals. He needs to figure it out. The more it happens, the worse it gets. No doubt about it. I 100%, it's bad. But yeah, I think people need to still understand that, like, some other forwards in this league who are in that exact same position would not have been provided as much as Luis Suarez did in those last 45 minutes because of his IQ and because of what he was able to create for his teammates. And that's the truth, you know, it is. And so, yeah, crazy, crazy game. That's my thoughts.
Yeah, no, it was an insane game. And just the fact that Inter Miami went up 1-0 and then they get tied and they go into the second half 1-1 and they're trying to, I think for me, one of the things that I don't like to see is any time that a team parks the bus trying to hold a lead. And I felt like Inter Miami just did that way too early.
Way too early.
1-1, a 1-0 lead. They start to sit back. Obviously, they have to take out Tadeo Allende and Mascherano inserts Lujan there to get his back, a center back there. And after that, they kind of parked the bus. They gave a lot of
They brought in Bright.
Well, Tomas, they did that later on.
Tomas Aviles and Kremaski. Because they
did
only
that in the yeah, they did that in the 65th minute. But in the first half, they were up 1-0. And then they just sat back. And I was literally about to text our group chat saying if they score, we're screwed because of the fact that Inter Miami obviously was already down one man and they took out Tadeo Allende. And to me, it was going to be difficult to come back. So just the fact that they were able to was just incredible. But, you know, they go into the second half and still they're giving possession to Necaxa. Mascherano goes and does three substitutions, which I thought were interesting.
I thought three of them were perfect.
I didn't think he was going to take out Busquets. He usually doesn't. The fact that he took out Busquets and put in Yannick Bright, I thought was interesting. It shows that he has a lot of confidence in Yannick Bright. So, I mean, that was one of the least expected. Not that Yannick Bright actually made it onto the field, the fact that it was for Busquets. So I thought that was an interesting change, and I was okay with it, honestly. And then Noah Allen for Tomas Aviles. That's probably just, I think, taking care of Noah Allen. And then also getting some fresh legs, knowing that he's going to try. Because at that point, it was still 1-1. So I think that he wanted to make sure that he had his toughest defenders, people that were fresh on the legs, people that can make sure that they continue to hold the fort down. So I thought that that was okay as well. The one that for me, I think, was the most interesting substitution, also a minute 65 and 66 when he had those substitutions, was Benja Kremaski came in for Telasco Segovia. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that because right before that substitution was made, Fafa Picol was actually standing up, getting ready to go in. And I thought that was smart just because of the fact that you don't have Messi on attack anymore. Obviously, you had to take out Tadeo Allende in the first half. The only other attacker really was Telasco. That was the only other guy that was going to be helping Suarez. And Suarez, we know, is more, especially with Messi being out, we knew Suarez was a guy that was mainly making the passes more than really attacking. So he takes, I was like, okay, he's going to put in Fafa. Fafa's going to be the guy up top and making the runs into space. And then he actually inserts Kremaski. So then I was like, oh, damn, he really is parking the bus even more. So I kind of want to get your thoughts on, one, what do you think about Cremaschi coming in and Fafa sitting back down and coming in for Telasco and really having nobody on attack, even though he moved the ball forward a little bit, obviously. And the fact that Cremaschi comes in and gets the captain's armband, I thought that was really interesting. What do you think?
I have a couple thoughts. And we went back and forth pretty aggressively on this, which because we have different thoughts as it relates to this Inter-Miami attack, which is totally fair and good for everyone to have, you know, their own opinion. I'll start by saying this. To make the substitution for Noah Allen, if it was purely and strictly because and discussed internally, because he's still coming back from injury, he cannot do more than 60 or 70, then fine. I'm fine. If that's what you had to do it. I would not have put in Tomas Aviles. Like, I would not have made that sub. I would have left Noah Allen in.
You're down a man. You're worried that disciplinary issues, you don't want to be left with nine, I'm assuming.
Because I wanted Fafa and Cremaschi to both come in the game.
Yeah.
Because, so, and what I would have done is I would have put in Fafa and Cremaschi for Allende and Segovia.
Well, Allende Allende was already out. So at that, Allende was out in the first half. So at that point, the midfield was, it was
Yannick Wright. Allende was out in the first half?
Yeah, they took out Allende in the first half to bring on Lujan.
Did he?
Yeah. There was no Allende anymore at that point. Tadeo Allende went out in minute 29. So that he can bring in Lujan since Falcón was out already. So at that point, there was no Tadeo Allende since the first half.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
So at that point, you only up front, all you had was Suarez and had Telasco, basically.
Right. So let me rephrase.
And remember, something actually, since we're talking about substitutions, I want to bring this in. Sorry if I mess up your train of thought, but this is
you're fine.
With the substitutions, Messi was brought out, obviously, because of the injury, and Federico Redondo went in instead of another attacker, which I also thought was...
Or instead of Yannick Bright, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because I would have chosen Bright to come in instead of Redondo, because then I know I would have been able to keep Busquets until the 90th minute.
Yeah.
And when you put in Redondo... you knew you weren't going to take Redondo back out in the 15th minute. So I thought that was a mistake to start. If he should have chosen Bright, because I'll tell you what, and the broadcast was saying it. I know sometimes you listen to Spanish, sometimes you listen to English. Yeah. This English broadcast mentioned Yannick Bright, I kid you not, at least 12 times in the second half because of how freaking good he was. I guess what my point was I didn't think you needed to make a defensive substitution because I thought you had Noah Allen, you had Lujan, you had Chelo, and you had Alba with the idea that Alba pushing through. I think Fafa needed to come in. And I think so then who would have been? It would have been so it was Bright, Cremaschi, and
Redondo was there.
No, Bright. In terms of the subs, it was Bright, Cremaschi, and Aviles, right? I would have done Bright, Cremaschi, and
Fafa,
and instead of I wouldn't have taken out Segovia, and I wouldn't have taken or excuse me, I wouldn't have taken out Busquets.
Yeah.
So right. So I would have immediately had the top be Fafa, and
Suarez.
And then I would have like basically a 4-4-2 with.
Yeah, I think it was important for me. What I would have liked is it's okay. Obviously, you're not gonna. I don't think anybody thought that Mascherano would take out Suarez. He's gonna keep Suarez on there, obviously because of his experience and because of he's basically the guy that facilitates. Like we've seen him when Messi's not around, he becomes more of a facilitator role. But the fact that we didn't have an attack, I think made it more difficult. In the end, it worked out, thankfully. But I think if we would have had Fafa that can also help in the midfield, and also help an attack, I think would have been very helpful for Inter Miami. But at the end of the day,
a lot of Kremaski was asking a lot of him to become.
But at the end of the day,
a left winger.
What he wanted is a more stable midfield, and that's what he went for Kremaski. Yeah. That's what Kremaski brings. It is more stability in the midfield, less chances for attack or counterattacks from Necaxa. And ultimately, Kremaski is an incredible professional. The fact that he's become a Swiss Army knife, just like Gressel,
the energy he brings,
just like Gressel was for Tata Martino, I think that is what Kremaski has become for Mascherano. He can put him anywhere that he needs, make him play at right back, make him play at right wing, put him now on the left, anything that he needs. So props to him. He gets the captain's armband. I thought that that was incredible. I don't know if necessarily he... I never thought that he would get the captain's
armband. Well, remember, last match was his 100th cap as incoming straight from the academy.
No, I understand. Maybe that was more of a nod, a confidence booster, but I'm telling you, you have Jordi Alba and you have Suarez on there. I'm not saying that he didn't deserve it or anything like that. I'm just saying for me, it was a surprise. I thought that probably Busquets or Suarez would have had it before him. But the fact that he, you know, is an academy product, has been there for a long time, has been professional, has been able to do step into a lot of roles. He's also the second academy product to do that. We had Noah Allen, who had the captain before. So just props to Kremaski, and hopefully it's a confidence booster, and it just shows how much I think he's proven himself towards Mascherano. But you know, talking about obviously this game and everything that's going on with that, I kind of wanted to talk about something that was really important also, that really changed the scope of this game going early on, before even the Messi injury, and that is Maxi Falcón getting a red.
I actually, just my train of thought really quickly. I want to give a super quick shout out to Rios Novo, who has had to come in as a third string goalkeeper and has made some baller in-match saves and won the penalty shootout. Deserves a lot of credit. Third string goalkeeper, not easy to do. So far, been playing really well. So give him a good shout out. But sorry, continue.
No, you're good. You could probably save that for one of our segments here, where you're going to be able to, you're probably going to want to talk about him then.
Oh, I forgot about that segment. You're right. So it's okay. Let's keep going.
Maxi Falcón's seventh minute ejection, I think, brought in a bit of controversy, and we'll talk about some of the officiating controversy later on. But, you know, for me, I don't think it met necessarily the requirements for Dogso. I don't think that there was much going on there. I know that there was a slight tug of the shirt by Maxi Falcón. I don't feel like the player had the ability to really reach the ball that was already closer to Rios Novo. I don't think that he was had the opportunity to score. I don't think he would have gotten to the ball. I think that the contact was very light, if any. I think for me, what was most troubling is the fact that the referee didn't even review the call, or that VAR didn't contact the referee to come and review the call. You know, Mascherano, we'll look at Mascherano's some of his comments, but how long would that have taken? And the amount, the repercussions that such a call has in a game that we know could mean the difference between qualifying and not qualifying under the current format of this tournament, I think is just, it's egregious to not go in and look at that, you know. No,
and time, as if you don't spend 25 minutes looking for looking for a centimeter difference on an odd.
And I'm not saying that it was, I don't think it was a good call. But ultimately, what bothered me more than that is the fact that it wasn't reviewed. Because I really think, I like to give referees the benefit of the doubt, and I think that referees try to do that the best they can. And obviously, in the moment, we saw plenty of replays on it. The referee's not seeing any replays. In the moment, in full speed, things can look, you know, a certain way. And sometimes they have to make a call. That way they can review it after. But the fact that that call was made, and then just like, okay, I'm just going to accept it. Even though it's minute seven, it's going to change the entirety of the game. To me, it was just completely ridiculous, and I would have liked to have been checked.
First of all, it's not a penalty. We know a lot of referees.
It wasn't a penalty, but it was
a red card. A red card. Some people will be like, "Oh, by the letter of the letter of the letter of the letter of the law, because of X, Y, and Z happened." But also by the letter of the law, the player dived. He felt contact. He dived. He wasn't truly contacted in a way that stopped him from moving forward. So you want to go letter by letter? That's number one. So it's not a red card. To your point, the referee is running as fast as he can. Can't see that perfectly. Sees shirts touch. Sees he's the last man of defense. The guy falls. You're like, okay, that's a red card. The fact that there was no VAR intervention is so unbelievable that and sheds such poor light on another instance of CONCACAF refereeing and the refereeing association and just the structure and the foresight that's not going into this. You know, I know you're about to play the clip from Mascherano. He's completely right. The fact that these games are being refereed by a Mexican ref is just, even if this guy has nothing to do with Necaxa, and in the end, this could be nothing. And what if someone in the VAR booth was, or et cetera? Like, you're eliminating areas of fairness, and that's an example of one. I'll tell you what, if it went to VAR, and after all that, they say, look, it was a slight tug of the shirt, the guy dived, but we called the red. There's not enough to overturn it. I'd be pissed, but I'd be like, we move. The fact that we didn't even get to that state is unthinkable in today's rules of football. And then I think we should play Mascherano's clip. And then I think you should either read out or kind of summarize what you tweeted yesterday.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I wanted to do that. So we'll play part of Mascherano's commentary on the subject yesterday and his concern with the fact that there was a referee, in this case, from Mexico.
And we've been saying it from game one, man. There is an Inter-Miami bias. I'm sorry, there is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you think so or not. There's a bias, and it shows itself in different ways. And it's just that part of it sucks.
Yeah, so in this case, there was a Mexican referee that was officiating a game in which there was a Mexican team. So I'm going to go ahead and play that, and then I'll read what I had a small opinion piece that I just put on our Twitter or on our
editorial. Yep.
In editorial. All right, so let's go ahead and play this right here. So, okay.
I don't hear sound from it.
Do you not? Mm-mm. You don't hear the sound? Okay. So
do you?
Yeah, I hear the sound. But if what is it called? If our viewers can't hear the sound, then it's probably not. So I'll just read what he said.
Okay, right? Yeah. If you want, sorry about that.
Yeah, no worries. I'm going to go ahead and read. That's strange that the sound isn't coming out. So I'll go.
We'll put the link to this clip in our description on YouTube, so you can go watch it. But yeah, explain if you want what you wrote, because you wrote, I thought, a beautiful piece above it that made a lot of sense.
Yeah. So here's, and it actually, in the piece that I wrote, it actually does have a comment from what he said. So I just wrote, look, I respectfully disagree with some of my local colleagues who are downplaying Coach Javier Mascherano's concerns about a Mexican referee overseeing Inter Miami's match against Necaxa. As Mascherano put it, and this is a direct quote from Mascherano, it's wrong. What do you think? Do you really think that's okay? In no competition where two teams from different countries face each other, should a referee from one of those countries be in charge? And that's actually something
that's simple as it gets.
And yeah, it's simple. And that's something that he continued to expound on, saying that in all his years of playing in UEFA and different, obviously in the higher leagues, that's not something that would happen in a Champions League game often enough. So I put, this is my thought, he's not wrong. For example, in UEFA, referee nationality is taken into consideration, and UEFA prioritizes supporting referees from countries appointing referees from countries not involved in the matches to ensure impartiality. Yesterday's officiating by Daniel Quintero Huitrón, including a controversial red card for Miami defender Maxi Falcón in the 7th minute, was suspect, to say the least. I understand that...
And further controversial, no VAR intervention.
Exactly. And I understand that Mexican and American referees make up the majority of the officiating pool, and with only two leagues involved, assigning officials can be challenging. But if MLS and Liga MX want this League's Cup tournament To be taken seriously, it starts with quality refereeing and minimizing even the minimum appearance of bias. So for me,
and there's plenty of by the way, there are plenty of CONCACAF referees that are not Mexican or American.
Well,
there's all the other countries in South America that are, they're not CONCACAF, they're CONMEBOL, but they're all the Caribbean countries and nations. Like,
so Atlas game that we had was refereed by an official from Costa Rica. I think the point is, like, I don't want to go and say, and maybe we don't share the same opinion, you and I, Ash, on this. I don't want to go outright and say that there was bias in this game, or that the referee had it out because they were from Mexico, that they had it out for Inter Miami and were pulling for Necaxa in this situation.
Right.
But I think what's important is you need to remove any inkling of bias in the game. And if there was a Costa Rican referee or a referee from Canada or a referee from anywhere else in CONCACAF, we wouldn't be having the discussion to the level we are right now. Yeah, there'd be disagreements. It was a wrong call, or, you know, but
unnecessary level.
At this point now, it's people are questioning the integrity of the referee and questioning why this officiating group was put on. So I think that if you want a tournament to be taken seriously, you need to start with refereeing. And also, just to quickly touch on, and it's not what this episode is about, but just because I've seen some comments on what I've written saying, you know, you want to talk about the tournament and the fairness and that sort of thing. Let's talk also about the fairness of the, you know, you didn't complain about when Mexican teams have to come over here and play all games here in the U.S. and instead of going back to Mexico. And I say, look, I actually agree.
I actually agree with that as well.
I'm not someone that likes this tournament, and I'm not somebody that thinks it's a fair tournament. I don't think it's a fair tournament. I don't think that Mexican teams should come here and spend 3 or 4 weeks away from home or whatever amount of time that is and play only games here at the stadium, home stadium of the MLS team, and not have any home advantage. I don't think that's fair either. So I'm just going to say, you know,
It's not fair. I like, though, that it does guarantee that there are no MLS teams that play MLS teams or Liga MX teams that play Liga MX teams. Like, I like that part of the format where you're always going to be playing a team from the other league.
I think
the hope is eventually you're going to be able to do home and away. I think this is only the third year of the tournament, so I think that it's a fair point. It's just about the integrity and the overall, you know, MLS is making a lot of great moves. We'll probably talk about some of them tomorrow in our episode. Like the Son Heung-mins of the world, you know, the Thomas Muller, etc. So just things like this, instances like this, you know, VAR is one thing, refs making bad calls is another thing. But when you start having, you're adding layers of integrity and insecurity and not proper planning, that's what makes people upset. And that's what is what you need to avoid if you want to be taken more seriously.
Exactly. So
agreed.
Yeah. They have to do better with that. And I don't think that's going to change necessarily now, but we'll see if that's something that's maybe thought or maybe in the more immediate future. And you're talking about a semifinal or a final. I think that at that point, they really need to make sure that there is no referee from the country in which a team is playing. So with that.
Yeah, I got to wrap up in a few minutes. So
I got our parents, highs and lows, who soared and who sank. So let's go quickly. Anybody that stands out, I'll say for me, my low is definitely going to be, I think it's going to be Daniel Quintero Huitrón. The referee, I'm not gonna go. I think that's for me my low. I think that everybody for Inter Miami, I don't think this is a game where you want to really say that there was a low. I think everybody worked their butts off and really showed heart and grit to be able to come out of a very difficult circumstances, from Messi's injury to the red card early on and everything that comes along with that. So, but as far as who soared for me in this game, I really think it's got to be It's got to be Jordi Alba. It's Jordi Alba because of the fact that when it looked like all was lost, when they were down a goal in added time, he came in and he added hope to this team, and he brought them to the point where they could decide for themselves if they were going to win with penalties. He's the reason why we got the 2 points. And now we're still in contention to move into the quarterfinals. So for me, it's going to be Jordi Alba.
Great call. Yeah, I'll say I agree with both of those. My high of 2-1, which I previously spoke about, so I don't have to say much. Rios Novos has done a phenomenal job over the last week plus, and having to come in as a third string goalkeeper, has made a lot of great saves, has done a penalty shootout, has made good, I think just playing out from the back. And something that you don't often say about your third string goalkeeper is I have no doubt in his ability. You know, yeah. Doesn't mean he's going to always be perfect, but I believe in him and his quality. And that's, I think, very impressive. So big high. My other big high, we saw him for only 30 plus minutes. Yannick Bright is him. If he's completely healthy, Yannick Bright is him. And honestly, I don't know how, but I really wish there was a way that we could see a world where Yannick Bright, Busquets, and DePaul could all play, because it's such a shame, because Yannick Bright is that good. He just runs. He's at every correct position. He makes every right tackle. He steals so many balls back. He prevents so many goal scoring opportunities for the other side. He's so good. And he deserves praise. And you never know. Like, maybe we'll talk about it in our next episode or a different episode. I sometimes think that, you know, I wish we could move to a 4-3-3 or move some things around. Like, I wish there was a way that we would be able to have all three of those in the midfield, because I just think Yannick Bright is too good to be a bench player because he's that great. And then Hussein for me, and this is a perfect segue into our next topic, a person we never want to say, which is Lionel Messi, because in the 11th minute had to be subbed off for what is what was the word they used specifically? I believe like a minor muscle.
Yeah,
injury.
I wanted to read that really quick. So Inter Miami put out a release today that said Messi underwent medical tests to evaluate the extent of the muscle discomfort he experienced during last night's League's Cup match against Necaxa, which forced him to leave the field. The results confirmed a minor muscle injury in his right leg. His medical clearance will depend on his clinical progress and response to treatment. So if I really look into that, what that's telling me as far as Messi's timeline is that he'll either be available next game, available in 2 weeks, in 6 months, or never play again. So, you know, that's that's what I'm reading from this statement here that Messi, that Inter Miami has released about Messi. So
can you put that on the screen, or is that too difficult to do? If you can't, it's fine. Cause I wanted to point out a couple quick things from it, but
yeah. I can try to bring it
while
up.
While you do that though, this is what I'll say. Couple things that, and you're bright where it's could mean absolutely nothing and I could be full of it. But a couple words and things that stood out to me. The fact that the word strain was not used, to me, great. The fact that the word strain and ligament were not used, big positive to me, number one. And then number two, the fact that there was no timetable. There's not usually a timetable, but there's usually we will reassess. A timetable, you know what I mean? The fact that we didn't have either of those components, to me, what I gathered, he felt a pull, he felt something, he landed on it awkwardly. He said, not worth it, not worth trying to finish this one out. Like, I feel discomfort. And so I'm going to take that's my positives I'm taking out of that, is that I didn't see the word strain anywhere. I didn't see the word ligament anywhere. And I didn't see any type of language that would dictate reassess or in the future, right? Like I didn't see any of those buzzwords that we sometimes see in these medical reports, which leads me to believe, and we did see the word minor. So hopefully, to your point, it is something that it just was he landed on it awkwardly, he felt a pull. they're being extremely cautious. He walked off on his own, no help needed, no limp when he was walking to the locker room. When we saw the footage of him, it was walking completely normal. So, yeah, best case scenario Wednesday, you know, if not a few weeks, we'll see and we'll keep our eyes on it. It's obviously a shame because of how great he's been and what we've been seeing. But like I said, I'm going to, you know, go for the rose-colored lenses and say that based on the kind of language we saw, I think it's going to be a lesser rather than a greater.
Yeah, I expect the same thing. I would expect him to be back pretty soon. You made a good point. He didn't limp into the locker room. He
no strain damage, no ligament, none of those words.
Smiling for pic afterwards, he was taking pictures and smiling. Yeah. He looked in good spirits and
stood up directly when they picked him up. Walked off completely normal tempo. That's what
other players that were interviewed were actually said that he, or not him, I think it was Mascherano, that actually said that he had felt no pain. So it's just something more for precaution. I think Inter Miami can still do something without him against Puebla, and hopefully we'll see him in the semifinals or quarter.
Puebla or Puma?
Puma, excuse me. So I think that they can still do that. So, but yeah, it's definitely a lot happened during this game. A lot of controversy, a lot of.
But proud of the boys. Things. Proud but of the boys for pulling
they
out.
They did really well.
Goal. They got as close to the goal as possible with as many obstacles as you can face. They did well, and I have faith that Wednesday we can get it.
Yeah, they pulled it off. They're still in contention. Big game coming up Wednesday. So we're going to go ahead and put out another episode tomorrow. Matt's going to be on that one. So that's
hopefully
exciting.
We'll live. So look out for that.
We'll be live. So yeah, just make sure you guys like this video. Make sure you put the thumbs up. That way it gets out to more people. The YouTube algorithms pick it up. Make sure you follow the channel. And make sure to drop a comment. Let us know what you think about what we said today, how you feel about the refereeing controversy, how long you think Messi's going to be out, and what you think about the next game coming up. So as always, we're happy to be here. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.